him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. So we can learn quite a bit from verse 1. One, we know that Naaman is an enemy of Israel. They weren't currently at war at this time, but Aram or Syria was constantly battling with Israel. We know that he was in charge of the Syrian army, not just a general, not just someone high up. He was in charge of the army, which made him about the second most powerful man right under the king in Syria at that time. We know that he was highly regarded, not just by the king, but he was a well-respected person in that community. We'll find out pretty soon that he was pretty wealthy. So on the surface, he had everything. He had the money, the power, the respect. You would look at him and you would want his life. You would crave to be like Naaman. But that last line changes everything. But he had leprosy. Now his whole bio now reads, Naaman, leper. Nothing else mattered. Leprosy was a sign of being unclean. It was the outward effect of your inward sin at that time. When you had the disease, there was no known cure for it. The disease didn't care if you had great position, great power, great wealth. It was an equal opportunity affliction. And in a lot of ways, having the disease could be worse than death, because you could live with this disease for 30, 40 years. And when you had the disease, you were an outcast. You had to leave your friends, your family. You had to live on the outside of town. It was a skin disease, so therefore every day you would wake up and you would be reminded of your disease. That whole disease, it would encompass your entire life when you had that. All you would think about was that you were a leper. In there as well, towards the middle, little point verse, it says that he was highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory. So even though he was living in a pagan land, he did not know the Lord. The Lord was working in him already. He had his position because of the Lord. Picking up in verse 2, now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel. She served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So now we meet the second player in this story, this little girl. We don't know much about her. We don't know her name. We will never learn this little girl's name. We know that she's little. We know that she's a girl. We know that she was captive and made a slave. We know that she was a slave to the second most powerful man in Syria, which means she was probably, you know, pretty obedient, pretty good at what she did. You don't just take, you know, anyone to put them in that household. I know that if someone was to take me out of my home, put me in a foreign land, treat me as an outcast, make me learn a different language, serve an enemy of my people, I would probably be a little bit bitter. But we find that this little girl was not bitter. In fact, she was very bold. She didn't wait for Naaman to come to her and ask if anyone else knew who might cure his disease. She didn't wait to be asked for anything. She went and she spoke out and said, only if my master would go see the prophet, he would surely cure him of this disease. She felt the calling. She spoke out. Now, what's really amazing about that, one, Naaman does listen, which is incredible by itself. But two, the prophet she's speaking of has never cured anybody of leprosy. So imagine that. You go tell your boss is having an issue. You're like, hey, go see my neighbor. He'll fix your plumbing. My neighbor is not a plumber. He has never plumbed a thing in his life. You would not recommend someone who has never cured somebody of a disease to go cure, especially a man of this power. If he was to go see the prophet, come back, and not be cured, there would have been repercussions for this little girl. This little girl was bold. So, guys, when your wife says you're acting like a little girl, say, thank you. Okay? So the story starts off good, right? So we meet Naaman, his disease. You know, someone who is following her heart tells her, hey, go see this prophet. Off to a good start. And now, unfortunately, this is where Naaman gets in his own way. Naaman went to his master, who's the king, and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Oh, forgot to mention this. I have it on good authority that Elisha had never cured anybody of leprosy. It says in Luke 4, by a very credible source, Jesus, that, and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Therefore, we know that Elijah had never cured anybody of leprosy. Sorry. Picking back up in 2 Kings 5, starting in verse 4. So, the distance from Syria to Samaria was about 715 miles. I couldn't really find a good comparison to that. What I found was Atlanta from here is about 640 miles. So imagine Atlanta plus 75 more miles. And this would not have been an easy trip. He would have had a whole caravan with him. There would have been people walking. It's going to be a very long journey. That tells me that this felt of desperation. This was not his first option. This was the last resort. He was going there because no one else, not any of the medicine men, the doctors in Syria could help him. He was going to see this prophet who served a Lord that was not his God to help him. He also had roughly about $3.5 million with him. So he brought the bag. He did that for you guys right there. He probably went there and was like, you know what, this guy's probably not going to take my insurance. I better pay cash. And that was the first offense that we see from Naaman. He thought that he could buy this cure. He thought he could buy the cure of an incurable disease. He said that, I know I'm great. I know that I have the resources to do this. I can be my own savior. I can go ahead, take all this money, and I can control who's going to heal me. Picking back up in verse 6, the letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send me someone to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. So Naaman's second offense is he went to the wrong place. I mean, probably wouldn't have been a bad idea if you're going to a big caravan to go see the king first, but he mentioned the prophet nowhere. So he was told to go see a prophet in Israel and said he went to go the most powerful man in Israel, thinking that power equaled prophecy. He thought the king could help him because he was the king. How often do we go to the wrong place when we have a problem? How often do we have an issue and we don't take it to the Lord first? How often do we go to a friend, a family member, a trusted person, but we don't get down and pray about it? How often, when we don't take it to the Lord first, do we make that problem worse? In this situation, Naaman went to the king and he almost created a war. The king took what he was trying to accomplish and thought that he was actually just trying to create a reason for Syria to battle Israel. So then when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hands over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not the Abana, the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel. Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned away and went off in rage. It's his third offense. That he was upset by the simplicity of the answer. Not only that, he was mad first because Elijah didn't even come out and see Naaman. So he went to his house, went all the way. He's coming 715 miles away. He's a very important person to see this man. And he couldn't even come out of the house and talk to him. He sent his assistant, said, go wash in the Jordan River seven times. And I'm sure Naaman thought that was ridiculous. That solution would never work. If washing in the river would cure you of your leprosy, that river would be very popular. There would be lepers from all over just going and washing in that river. You know, I'm sure that on the way there, the long trip, he probably jumped on WebMD, figured out what the solution was. He was going to tell Elijah what Elijah needed to do. You know, obviously, he's like, hey, I was looking and online it said, if you wave your hands, call on God, I'm good. See, and that's that was the problem. That line right there. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me. I thought the Elijah would come out. I thought that he would call upon the name of the Lord. I thought he would just wave his hands and cure me. I thought that if I just read Scripture daily, that the Lord would bless me. I thought that if I prayed hard enough, the Lord would give me what I wanted. I thought that accepting Christ in my life would make my life easier. I thought that by prayer and practice, that maybe I wouldn't be tempted to click on that website. I thought by doing a Bible study with my wife, we wouldn't fight so much. I thought reading Proverbs to my kids would make them listen a little bit better. And that's the problem, is we think and we don't listen. We rely on ourselves. We share that same arrogance that Naaman has. Naaman was told to go wash in the Jordan seven times. He was offended by the messenger and by the message. Now, fortunately, that's not where the story ends. A couple of Naaman's servants came to him, and they stopped him. And they asked him, they said, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? You know, if the prophet told you to go and do seven feats of valor or something, you know, like think about Hercules having to kill a bear and a snake. If you had to do all that, wouldn't you go do it because it would make sense? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So, yeah, fortunately for Naaman, he listens. There's a change in Naaman at that moment. He goes and he washes himself in the river. Now, has anyone ever like gone someplace that maybe there was like a cover charge to get in, or they put a stamp on your hand so you knew you could regain entrance? I know Tamara has some henna on her hand. Faith, I think you have some too. When you wash your hands of that stamp, the henna, whatever, it slowly starts to fade, right? Every washing, it fades a little bit. How much faith would it be for Naaman to go wash himself in that river? He washes one time. The disease is the exact same. He washes the second time. No change. Third time. Nope. Fourth, fifth, sixth time he gets out. He's like, I am not looking any better. Like, when would he have given up, right? So he had to have faith to wash himself seven times. And at the seventh time, his disease was gone and his skin was renewed like a little boy. So there's some significance there, right? When Naaman went into the river, he went in diseased, sick. He had the outward effects of inward sin. He goes in, he dips himself in the water. He comes out a changed man. He comes out, disease is gone. The outward self now reflects the inward saved self. And you can see in verses 15, they went back to Elijah. And he said to him, now I know that there's no God in all the world except in Israel. He had accepted the Lord into his heart at that moment. Kind of like a baptism, right? And there was just it's a really cool word in there as well. So he went in there, went into everything. I thought that things would be different. I thought that when I came to Israel, things would have worked out a little bit differently. I thought the solution would have been different. And he came out of the river saying, I know the Lord now. I know that the Lord of Israel is the one true God. So God used this disease as a gateway to Naaman's heart. God used that little girl that was taken from her home. He used Naaman's servants to humble Naaman. And ultimately God used Naaman, an unbeliever in a pagan land, for the testimony of His great power. So how are you being used right now? And is your arrogance getting in its way? Are you relying on Jesus or are you relying on yourself? We don't know what came of Naaman. We don't hear about Naaman after this chapter, other than that one little spot in Luke. We don't know if he went back to Syria and he was witnessed. We don't know if he stayed humble. We don't know if he stayed truthful to God. We don't know if he caused a movement. We don't know if his faith slowly dwindled. I don't think that we can relate to what Naaman had, or his position, or his power. But I do think that we can relate to his reaction to God. I think far too often we rely on ourselves, and we don't allow God to actually do the work that He has planned for us. Far too often we wouldn't wash in the river because we don't see the point. I feel that the real heroes next to God in this story are the unnamed. You know, the girl how in faith told Naaman to go to Syria and see Elisha. The unnamed servants who convinced Naaman to try washing. These are the heroes that truly walked in faith and spoke out against these norms to advance the kingdom. So we shouldn't aim to be like Naaman. We should aim to be like that little girl and like those servants and like those unnamed heroes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for stories like this that just give us a reminder about who we are inside, who, you know, where our weaknesses are. And the great example is that we don't have to be some great person, that we can be someone small, someone humble, someone in our current position, that you do not find favor in position, Father God, that you will work through all of us. Father God, as we go on throughout this week, we ask that you just give us ears to hear what you're calling us for, Father God, and the boldness of a little girl to act upon that. We pray this in your name. Amen.